Welcome to the KP Podcast, where we talk about the business of real estate. A podcast about leveraging opportunities, growing your business, and experiencing financial freedom. Here are your hosts, Keith Anderson and Peter Kamboukos.
Welcome, guys, to the KP Podcast. So super excited to have you guys today. We're here in the forum, and we have a special guest with us. We currently do not have Peter Kamboukos with us. It is Keith Anderson here with Anthony Big Tuna Fortuna. How are you doing, buddy?
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Keith invited me to this podcast. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, we're super excited to chat a little bit about you. So Pete and I, we did some thinking, and we really want to dive in on just people in general, people that make up our team, make up our culture. And Anthony being one of our top producers on the team, part of our Platinum Club, we thought it would be a good opportunity to get to know you.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Just get a good feel for what's going on in your life and how you came to be and how you ended up in this crazy place in Arizona alongside both of us crazy people and this incredible team that we've been able to be blessed with building. So let me start it off. Anthony, let's talk a little bit about you, your backstory. Let's talk about where you grew up, etc. Tell me about you.
Yeah, definitely. So I was born and raised in the southwest suburbs of Chicago, in a town called Worth, Illinois. Very small town.
Worth,
exactly.
Like W-I-R-T-H?
No, W-O-R-T-H.
Like you're worth it.
Like Worth the Friendly Village.
Okay,
That was a sign it would say on the water tower when you're coming down the expressway. It said Worth the Friendly Village.
Okay.
So anyone would say, I say I'm from Worth, they'd be like, you mean Worth the Friendly Village? I'm like, yes.
The Friendly Village.
Yes.
Well, that's why you had to leave.
Born and raised there. You know, big Italian family. Got four brothers, two sisters. Actually, one sister passed away about 7 years ago. So I have a lot of my family that, you know, migrated out here probably about 8 years ago.
Okay.
I got some family in Mesa. I got some family up in North Phoenix, Gilbert. Have a brother just moved out here and up in Surprise.
Okay. So yeah. How long were you in Chicago then?
I've been in Chicago for pretty much my whole entire life. I moved out here 3 years ago.
Okay.
So I was like 44 when I moved out here.
Oh, shoot. So yeah. Old.
Yeah.
Either way.
Old. Yeah.
See, I can make those comments now because Pete's gone. So, and then I don't have to get the crap back from him. So tell me about a little bit of your work history, because obviously you didn't jump right into real estate. You weren't in real estate in the same way in Chicago as you are here now today in Arizona. So what did you do in Chicago for your early work life?
Obviously, you know, right after high school, I graduated in 93. So my family, we had a transportation logistics company back in Chicago. So in high school, I was always working for a detailed company, a car dealership. So I ran the used car lot. So all the used cars that would come through, I would, you know, handle all the detailing, get them back on the market, put them back on the lot for sale. So as I started doing that, I had a venture on my own business that started at 18 years old, where I ended up just going out there, starting my own business, came up with my own business plan, everything, worked out of my father's shop in the south side of Chicago, and started that business, you know, gained clientele and stuff like that, detailing the business from there. And I ran that for about 2 years, learned a lot, failed, which was okay. And then after that, I got a call from one of my brother's friends. And he's like, hey, we have an opening in the Chicago Mercantile Exchange in downtown. And I'm like, where? And he's like, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, the stock exchange. I'm like, he's like, you ever heard of it? I'm like, yeah, I've heard of it. I go, I've never been down there, though. He's like, yeah, we have some openings down there. So I'm like, all right, cool. So I, you know, get on the train, take the train all the way down to the city, go for this interview. It was pretty much like a handshake. So he's like, my friend Dominic, he's like, hey, this is Elliot. Elliot, this is Tony. He's like, he's looking to become a runner. He's like, you know, you have an opening with Lynn Waldock. So it was a big brokerage firm down there for many years. So he's like, all right. He's like, when do you want to start? And he's like, I'll start tomorrow. So, you know, went in and went through the process. I don't even think I filled out an application. Just when I was just a handshake.
And this is what? You know, this is like, late 90s, early 2000s?
This was in 96,
okay.
Roughly. 95, 96, I started the exchange as a runner for them. And, went down there. My first day on the exchange floor was like, I mean, you walk into the S&P 500 pit, and you're walking on the trading floor, And I mean, my adrenaline was just pumping.
So those of you guys that don't know right now, like, this is like your stereotypical watch the movie. You got 1,000 screaming guys just sitting in the middle of the field, like shaking papers like nothing,
like
right?
Like trading places.
Like trading places. Like, yeah, so we exactly. got, you got Eddie on your left, you know, and you got Dan Aykroyd on the right. And they're competing right now for the boys up in the top office, right? Yeah. So what, in that situation, what were you? Like, what, were you the guy like running, like runner, right? So like, are you in the middle fighting it off, or you got the guy running?
Exactly. So when I first walked on that trading floor, and I seen this, the energy level, I was like, I belong here. I mean, there was thousands of people in different coats, waving their hands around. It's called arbitrage. That's how we communicate to execute orders with hand signals. So I had no clue what was going on. They're walking. All I knew, I wanted to be involved.
Yeah.
I mean, people yelling and screaming, swearing, fighting. I mean, you name it. And it's just, so I get on the floor for the first day, right? So I met this one kid, first kid I met, this kid named Anthony Credelli. So I meet him, and then the manager of the desk goes, all right, you're going to come over here. What you're going to do is run these orders. So all the phone clerks that get the orders from, you know, the customers would write down those orders.
Yeah.
So I'd have to run it and get it to the broker, give it to the clerk, to the broker. Then the broker would execute the trade inside the pits. So when I was seeing that, then I seen, you know, the clerks that were up there taking, executing the orders from the customer. I'm like, I want to be there.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually down to that row. I mean, running was, it was learning, but it was like, when
it's
you
crazy.
Had a,
it's chaos.
You had a hot order when they were, you'll be like, you know, sell 200 and this is a hot market order. So like, we're running, pushing people through because time is on the essence.
Yeah.
Because I got to get that trade
out,
to that broker so he can execute it and get it filled and run it back and give it to the customer.
Oh, man.
And then they can report it.
Yeah, so those of you guys, again, that don't know, computers apparently weren't a thing at this point. So that E-Trade wasn't going on, you know, this was it, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is all you had. So that's crazy. So you came from a place of, I guess, craziness in a work history. And very few people in the world probably have that same type of work history when it comes to that. And so how cool to see that. So you left that at some point, right? What year did you end up?
I started there in 96. You know, I started as a runner. Then I became an arbitrage clerk for one of the biggest independent brokers in the S&P. So then I managed like six different clerks, managed with three different brokers. So, and we executed multiple trades each day. I mean, just
big trades too, right?
Then after that, I eventually made my way into become an independent trader. And then was inside the pitch trading. And then from there, it was an up and down. You know, first time at it, it wasn't a great success. It was tough. And then I stuck with it. And then after that, went back into it, started trading the Euro dollars. And then from there, I partnered up with a guy and we started trading the S&Ps. So I started back up in 07, just when everything was going haywire.
Yeah.
In that era. And
so you went right through the crash right there in the stock market.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Nuts. I mean, even 9/11 was, I mean, it was very, I mean, nerve wracking. I could tell you a quick story about that. When I was getting into the building, I was going up the escalator, and this one clerk, she's like, hey, Tuna. She's like, can you believe it? Someone just crashed a plane in the World Trade Center. And she's like, can you believe that guy? And I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, wait a minute, that's not right. So I mainly ran up the escalator right to my
wasn't
broker.
An accident. It wasn't like, I put it into second gear instead of third and went to the right.
So I went up to the S&P floor, and I immediately grabbed my broker. I'm like, please tell me you're not short the market, because that's just going to cause everyone to panic sell, right? So he's like, no, I'm flat. My position's good. I'm like, all right. So then there's a big monitor over the corner of us so we can see all the data and everything.
Yeah.
So we're all sitting there. The market didn't open up yet. They closed the trading floor down until what goes on. And the next year you can see that second plane coming through.
Oh, man.
And just hit and was like, okay, they evacuated the building. I mean, it was nuts what was going down in the city of Chicago at the time. I mean, people outside just crazy. No one knows what they're doing. People panicking because of their positions. They don't know where their positions are at. So, you know, people made millions of dollars, but there's also people lost millions of dollars as well in that.
So it's crazy to think, but I mean, that definitely prepared you for the chaos of real estate at some point. And Absolutely. Compared to that, yep. like you, a lot of people might not think a lot of the similarities that would be there, mm-hmm. but in reality, there's small moments of chaos. There's small mm-hmm. moments of like panic where like, I don't know necessarily how to push through that situation. And something that I preach all the time is, you know, using those problem solving skills mm-hmm. and realizing if there's not a door or a solution, you have to create one, you're yep. right? All Absolutely. The time. And that's how real estate is. Pete says that all the time in firefighting, yep. same concept is, you'd be stuck in a building, everything's on fire, and there's no clear exit, you make an exit. Like, yeah. that's what that process is. And so that's cool that could have very easily shaped a big part of how you are today in real estate, you know, as we go through that. So awesome. That's a crazy story. That's so cool to learn more about that. Tell me now, sitting in real estate, how real estate started. Like, why real estate? What brought you on to the real estate career, if you will?
So, obviously, you know, back in Chicago, like I have, you know, family members that were heavily invested in real estate.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of like pick it off them, you know, being on the exchange floor. There was always creating opportunities back then. So I did over my time. I started there buying homes. Even when I bought my own homes, I always negotiate my own
yeah.
deals. So back then, if I'm buying a home or if I sold my home, I always got involved with it. I always loved to sell the neighborhood I was in.
Yeah.
And, you know, me, I was like, no one could do it better. I know the neighborhood the best, thinking like the realtor doesn't know, but they do know. I was just kind of, you know, hard-headed.
You were that stereotypical seller.
Exactly. I was like, I know everything.
You're the seller that you hate now.
Exactly, right. So I was always involved with me. My wife always pushed me. She's like, you know, with your personality, you're
yeah.
driven for it. It's like, you need to be, and she's always pushing me for it.
Yeah.
And then out there, I looked into it. And then didn't get too involved in it back then because I'm converting after the trading floor. I am getting heavily involved in our family's business.
Yeah.
So I became the director of operations for our transportation company for about 9 years. And then when we came out here, my wife's like, you need to really just go take the classes. And that's when I looked up the
yeah.
form, started here, and then it just took off from there. I just think from my years of experience with businesses, being on the exchange floor, how to handle that pressure, because there's no pressure like being on the
yeah.
exchange floor, being out here. So it was like, yeah, people are going to tell you no. They're not going to want to work with you.
Deal.
It's like, okay. And it's like, you know, and it's, I think that helped me get to where I'm at today just over life experiences.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I can completely understand. It's like, it's a lot different when you just get told no. And it, like, if
yeah.
you're not used to that, that can be a yep. hard thing to overcome.
Yep.
When you're on the trading floor, it's way worse than no. It's
yep.
not no. You're getting punched in the face.
Yeah.
It's crazy in there,
exactly.
right? So everything else to that compares nothing, right?
Yep.
So that's awesome. So you started in real estate. Tell me about your first couple years, because I know you started off as a solo agent,
mm-hmm.
you worked into a team. So let's talk about that process. Like, how
yeah,
was
definitely.
It, you know, early on going compared to what it was now partnering with KP Elite and EXP?
Yeah, definitely. So when I first started, when I got, everything was finalized, my license in February of 2020. So you know, interviewing with other teams and stuff like that, I really love what the Forum and what Revelation at that time had
yeah.
the offer. I mean, I loved, you know, all the driven people, like-minded people, the
yeah.
entrepreneurs in this building. You can just feel the energy
yeah.
and you can feel there's success walking through this door. So I'm like, I want to be a part of this. So I end up coming here to sign on with Revelation. That's where I believe Chuck and they switched everything over to EXP.
Yeah, it was like that same like year.
Yeah,
yeah,
that same day. I went in, literally that day, and like, well, we're switching over to EXP.
So
and I'm
sign
like,
up this
what?
Way.
Right.
Yeah.
So now that changed, which was no problem. I'm getting signed
yeah.
on and everything. And then 2 weeks later, COVID hits.
Oh, yeah, crap, yeah.
So then what I did was I'd come to the office every day, and I was just prospecting. I started with my personal sphere, my family members, just constantly making calls, learning different programs, classes with EXP World, what they had to offer. So that's all I did was come in every day and just start building up my pipeline, having the conversations, learning different things about, you know, Facebook ads and all these different types of platforms, just, you know, using the programs we have, you know, the KB Core landing pages and stuff like that.
Yeah.
No clue about these Facebook leads and stuff. I'll tell you a funny story about that. So I was taking some classes on that and learning how to post them. So,
okay.
And then also I'm not getting no leads coming through. I'm like, I must be doing something right. I mean, someone's got to be looking at it. It's COVID. No one's out doing anything.
Yeah.
So sure enough, I found a way to look at it like about 3 weeks later. I had 114 leads in there.
Yeah, they're all stuck in the Facebook pixel.
Know,
you
right?
never knew
exactly.
how to pull them in.
I'm like looking
yeah.
for that. But then, you know, I started calling all those people and building up the pipeline. In about 6 months, you know, that's when I was listening about what you guys you guys are doing, and I loved everything about the platform and everything you guys are generating for team leads and everything. So I'd always listen. I remember grabbing you that one time and saying, "Hey, come here. You know, like, I want to hear about your team, your success. I see what's going on." So, and then we scheduled a meeting with Garrett. And next year I was on the team, and then everything just built it from there. Like, my first own deal was my neighbor, because I would walk around the neighborhood at that time and just talk with people. And he came knocking on my door and said, you know, my in-laws need to sell the home. So that was my first listing. Started from there. End up from that point on, end up getting 10 listings just in my neighborhood alone, within two block radius, just from meeting people and conversating. And then they referred to other people, and it took off from there. And then that's when I joined the team, it was just a great success and great help for me, because you guys showed me that way. There are so many different tools and leverages I'm able to utilize where I can go out even further and even build more of my pipeline. So I want to say, from like when I started my first closing in August, I think I, from the end of the year, I had 15 that I'm closing just from building that pipeline and just conversating with people that I did over time, where then people started coming out of the woodworks. You remember, like, after like 3 months of COVID, it just started to get busy and people started buying again. So, and it started from there, and this went on to the, you know, to now.
Yeah. And I mean, that was only 2 years ago or so. Right now we're in, I think we're in your third year. Is this your third year in real estate? So your first, last year, so this would have been your second year, and you were with the team the full, that full year, you did 19 million in volume and closed 37 units. Like, that's fantastic, right? And for all the naysayers out there that say, like, hey, being a part of team, it's not going to work out, like, you're not going to do as much, you're not going to close as much or make as much money, dude, you absolutely slayed it. Like, I don't even know if I'm allowed to say how much money you could have made on air. Like, that might not even be the case. And you're on a team leveraging the systems, which I love, because I think you finally, or you're one of the agents that finally gets the mindset of leverage and delegation. Because whether you're leveraging or delegating using a team, or you're leveraging and delegating using your own staff, or delegating and leveraging using other agents, at the end of the day, you're still paying to have other people help you grow your business, regardless.
Absolutely.
The difference is if a team is taking a majority of everything to help you do it versus supporting you, growing you, and adding to your success and your income and so forth. So to see you do that, and then this year, right, you're on, I mean, the whole market has itself slowed down a little bit, but still, you're already got 14 million and 30 units pending closed this year so far, and we still got a whole nother quarter left. So I mean, that's awesome. That's incredible, even with a what a lot of people would consider a down year. And so tell me a little bit, like, what do you think your biggest form of success has been from that? Like, what do you think has caused a lot of that success?
Yeah, definitely. It's just like, with me, it's like you're stating, it's like, I will put everything into play where if it's my personal sphere, if it's team leads, if it's whatever's provided to me, I look at it as a whole. I don't break it down by one transaction. So I put in one whole, and then whatever my year end is, that's how I look at it. And it's like, it's, to me, it's like, I, my number one focus is the client. So it doesn't matter what's structure, pay structure, whatever it is. I'm here to service the client and service the customer and build that relationship. Because, like, with me, I felt like why I had success in that first 6 months is because it wasn't about the sell, it was about building a relationship and creating that value with that individual, that family member, the whole family. So that's what, for me, it gained the trust for them to trust in me, because it wasn't about just, hey, you looking for homes. It was like, hey, how was your weekend? How was your trip? What'd you guys do? You know, always getting in further with them to build that friendship, which eventually then they're the client. For me, I build relationships, create value, which builds trust, and it gets closings.
No, I love that. And I think you even said something there, is that you're looking at it as a unit. You're not taking parts of a whole. So a lot of the problem is people think, oh, here's a referral lead source, I'm not going to make as much money there, or, oh, I got to do a team split on this one, I'm not going to make as much. You look at it as just, that's another unit towards my growth.
Exactly.
And that's the best way to look at it. We teach it all the time, because you'll stop worrying about the commission that's there. You're just worrying about the relationships and serving as many people as you can. So if you help 40 families this year, you make a crap ton of money. Like, that's the way you look at it. It doesn't matter what it comes from, where it's made up as. I just need 40 families, or I need 50, or whatever it is. That becomes your motivation behind it. And I love that. I think that's huge.
This goes on with those people, because with me, my biggest generation is word of mouth.
Yeah.
So people are, just think about it, when you put a client, when you buy a new home, right, and you're, and you have a housewarming party, and then you're explaining your success, right, they're going to talk about, you're going to say, oh, my realtor, you know, they helped me through this, we looked at these homes, they're going to express that excitement to someone, and then what do you think the next thing is, though? Hey, can I get your realtor's number?
Yeah, you loved him, you know, he was great.
Right, he was great, what'd you like about him? I mean, that goes a long way, you know.
It's huge. So let me ask you this then, cause a lot of people are out there, who do you think your favorite client is? Like, who, like, if you had to pick one, you know, do you like to go in a listing appointment and just lay down the hammer and be like, this shit's going to get listed at this price and we're doing it tomorrow? Or are you more of the buy side? Like, what's your favorite type of client?
Well, obviously, 2021, I had more listings. I love selling people's homes.
First off, guys, which is rare, because in 2021, I would say a lot of people had a lot more buyers, typically, especially in the agent side of things. So the fact that you pushed a lot of those listings was probably a big reason for that success as well.
Right, yeah. And, of course, obviously, then it was a little easier than the buy side. But I do love working with buyers. Like, I love, like, that excitement, like a first-time buyer, too, because you are creating that milestone memory. You know, that's a major milestone for first-time buyers, because I remember that, buying my first home. And I love that excitement, showing the house. Like, I get excited, like, check out these homes I got for you guys. What do you guys think? And get their information. And then, because every first-time buyer, they're not, not a lot of them are knowledgeable. They don't know what they're doing. And when you create that success for them, they love it. And it's like you're creating everything for them. And then let them know, even like retirees. Like, I also love working with retirees because, yes, they know what they want. And they've been down. They bought four or five homes in their career. And they're a little easier to work with, right? Because they know, they understand some of the contract. They understand the process. So it does tend to be a little easier with that, you know, and knowing what they're looking for. They're a little easier to work with on that. Investors, I like to build people's portfolios, help them with their investments. If they, you know, out of state, they have to do a 1031 exchange, set them up with some of the exchange agreements or whatever we have going on, and show them that value where they can put their money to work. You know, I'm not a CPA, I'm not a financial advisor in any way, but, you know, I understand the basics of what they're
You can help
for.
Them at least get
I
the right
guide
foot.
Them to where they need to be, right? Yeah, and I, that's great. And then, you know, because if they're successful, you're going to be successful, because next, you know, if that property works, then it's a third one, it's a fourth one, then it just, you build that relationship down the road. Like, I have one client that I build this great relationship. He's a builder, and we've done 12 transactions together, and he's very successful when he does, and we just continue to build that relationship, and he sees the growth, and our system works with that. So I don't change anything. We keep it going. So that's pretty much how we, you know, go with those.
Again, I mean, you stress on it again, and it's trust, guys. It's building relationships with people to gain their trust. And I mean, think about it in your career and anything. Those of you guys that are agents out there listening, trust is what sells everything.
Yep.
You don't even have to sell very hard if they trust you. Mm-hmm. In fact, you don't have to sell at all. I think my favorite type of clients, I come in and they're like, Keith, list it for what you want. We trust you.
Right.
It's like, because that 100% trust, I had a client the other day. She just signed a listing appointment. I didn't even get it out of my inbox. Like, I'd send, I was crafting up the text. It already came back signed.
Yeah.
She didn't read crap. Like, that was just the way that it was. And it wasn't because she was careless.
Yeah.
It's because she had 100% trust that I was going to put her best interest forward and take care of her. And that's the type of trust that creates reoccurring business and a relationship that goes, you know, years and years and years down the road. And you built that with family like companies.
Yep.
So you knew what that was coming from. And so I think that's huge. And, and I think that's awesome. So
I just keep it basic. That's all I do.
Yeah.
Keep it simple. I don't get too outside the box. Just keep it simple. And, you know, we call it the KISS system.
The KISS system. I love it. All right. Now you got to tell me what KISS stands for. Come on now. What's
keep
K?
Keep it simple, stupid.
Ah, there it is. Those of you guys that don't know, quote of the day, keep it simple, stupid. That's the tuna quote of the day. All right, tuna. So last question for you.
Yeah.
You're a successful agent in the industry. You've gone through that. You've already shown that you're one of the top agents here in the entire state. I'd match you up against anyone out there when it comes to a listing appointment. What tips do you have for other agents, either brand new agents starting the business or even experienced agents that might be taking like a step back in their business this year? Like, what would be your tip or a couple tips for the agents in the industry right now that needs to that take that next leap?
Yeah, definitely. So I would say for a lot of the newer agents just getting in the business, like right now this year is very tough. It's going to be tough for them. And all I can say is if you just keep grinding out there, get involved with a great team, which can provide knowledge and, you know, that gives you leads and gives you stability where you need. And then you can build from there greatly. And it's about a convenience for some of the experienced agents out there. You know, it's like, how much do you want to take on? Are you happy doing your 20 deals a year? Are you happy doing 40? Do you want to do 60? It's all about what your comfort level is. Like for me, it's a little different from maybe someone else. I like to, you know, travel. I like to, you know, have my family time and drive my kids all over and sports and everything and do like that. So where I'm at, I'm comfortable, you know. But if the market allows me to increase those transactions, then absolutely I will jump on that. We're only allowed to make what the market allows us to make in reality, if you think about it. But yeah, for newer agents, is definitely just get on a team out there. Don't worry about what any kind of structure, pay structure. Just worry about taking that client and servicing them and building that knowledge with them and create that value with them. And then the relationship, that's big for me, is for newer agents out there. If, you know, get a cup of coffee with a potential client, schedule those buyer consultations, especially now that there's so much volume out there in supply, where schedules buyer consultation, that's the first step, and where you can build a relationship and report with them, show them the data, show them what you look at, and show them what the market is, and then that trust is comes in, and then you go out there and then you conquer
that,
you know.
That's awesome. And I love the fact that you're touching on the major fact that time and convenience should be just as valued of a scale of deciding what to do and how to run your business as money. Yep. So a lot of people, they look at it like, I need to make as much money as possible. But what are you sacrificing by trying to make that much money? Mm-hmm. Your time with your family, your kids, your travel, your quality of life. So quality of life needs to be on that scale.
Absolutely.
And so whether you're choosing whatever brokerage, team, system, no matter what the environment is, make sure quality of life is one of those scaled factors. If it's not, you know, you're missing out. Awesome, guys. Hey, I appreciate you coming in and meeting with us and having the convo about your life, dude, and learning about the nuts of trading places and you hanging out with Eddie Murphy and the Fitz, you know?
Definitely.
Thanks for all the listeners checking in and listening and being a part. If you have any questions for Anthony or his business or how he came to be, as well as KP Elite and everything we got going on, again, like normal, questions@kpeliteaz.com, and follow us on all the socials. We appreciate all your guys' support, and we'll see you guys next time.